that. I'm totally persuaded, 100%. And thank you for that, George. I always pick on George. The reason that nobody knows what pickleball is, we're just not old enough to know what it is yet, George. We'll figure it out one of these days. We'll figure it out one of these days. I saw a video the other day of Emily, his daughter, showed me. It's a commercial that was George was in, and he's literally driving up in a tank. In a tank. George, the old military man. But I love George. We're thankful for him. It was hilarious, though. It was the same George that just had hair waving. I was like, I thought, did they edit that hair in there? You know, I'm a hair guy. I think all hair is beautiful. Where I'm at in life, all hair is beautiful. But his hair is blowing in the wind. I said, I don't know if that was a National Guard thing or he pulled something off and figured it out. But he's pulling up in a tank, and the newsman is just sitting there. And George is a sergeant. His captain is inside the tank. His captain doesn't even get to come out, but George gets all the attention. I love it. Anyway, hey. I've run him off again. He tells me about every other week you've run me off. 1 Peter chapter 1. I really believe that this is going to help you. Let me set, while you're turning to that, I'll set a little bit of background. What was happening in the Jewish believer's life at that time was that they were going through a whole lot of persecution. Now, the thing about persecution is that you can either grow out of it or you can become bitter. Something's going to happen. It just depends on your response. The result is hidden in your response. So as Peter's writing to the Jewish believers who are struggling in the middle of their persecution, Peter encourages them to conduct themselves courageously, and to also that their character and their conduct must be above reproach. Your character and your conduct. So here's what he's saying with that. Regardless of what you're going through, your character and your conduct do not get a day off. Let me say that again. Regardless of what you're going through, your character and your conduct, they don't get a day off. I know that we can all have a bad day. We can all have a bad moment. But truly, to the Christian, we don't even really have the right to be offended. Scripturally, I'm just saying. And prove it to you scripturally. We release that as we grow in the Lord. The thing is that we're always growing. You ever just get disappointed in yourself? You ever have one of them moments and you look around and thought, I hope nobody that knows me is here. To all the humans out there, all the people that drive on 77 to Charlotte. Yeah. Wonder what that camera has seen. Woo! Let's get into this scripture. First chapter, first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Pilgrims, that means temporary residents. That means sojourners. That means you're just passing through. You know, when it's your house, you can do what you want to, right? But when you're passing through, you really should leave a place better than you found it, because it'll leave an impression. That's what he's saying right here, that we are passing through this life, and as we go through, we should do things to make it better than to leave a mess behind us, right? The elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. I love that. Grace and peace are already for you, but he says, be multiplied for you. Multiplied for you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to feel it. He wants it to be a tangible thing in your life, no matter what you're going through. You always sense his grace for those days on 77, And you always receive His peace. His peace. When trouble comes, you don't have to say, God, I need you to show up anymore. Now you can say, God, thank you that you're already here. You knew it was coming. You saw the way I got in, but you know the way I'm going to get out. So I'm going to have my peace. It'll make it. Listen, there should be people in your life, whether they say it or not, that see you go through something and look at it and say, there's something different about that. Because there's a human response to everything, but there's a different response to humans who have been saved and have His Spirit living inside of you. Can somebody say amen to that? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, I love this, he's saying multiplied grace and multiplied peace and mercy in abundance has begotten us again. So you've been born physically, but we've been born again a second time spiritually. Can somebody say amen to that? To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We just got through with the Easter season. And the whole thing about Easter is the story of the, is a complete story. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Him. And that is a picture of our lives. Death to our old self, and we come out of that into the new life that He has for us. All I'm saying with that is there should be a difference in who you are now in Christ and the guy you used to be. You're not just a better version of the old you. You're not just better dressed than you used to be. The clothes you got on shouldn't matter at all. But who you are inside of you, that matters. That matters. Okay, that we've been raised, or Christ has been raised from the dead to an inheritance. So in order, I'm just kind of breaking this whole chapter down. We're going to touch into chapter 2 a little bit, and then y'all can go have some fried chicken, so don't be sweating it. Somebody told me last night, said, Pastor, you explained that thing for a long time last Sunday. I thought, that's a different way to tell me. I liked it. You really explained what you preached a long time. You got it all. You got all the points. We went to subset of G and F, and we got there. So, but to an inheritance, you know, for you to receive, it's one thing to have an inheritance or to know that one's there or to be an heir. But you understand, in order for you to get the inheritance, somebody has to die, right? He died. So everything that He has for me is mine now. And here's the difference. He's dead and He's alive, but part of His death unto life was so that I could get the inheritance. Maybe that's just good to me, but we've been raised to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's imperishable, okay? Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You have had to go through distressing times. Has anybody in this room ever had to go through distressing times? But do you know that Scripture puts parentheses around that right there? All of our distresses, it calls it this. It says, but our light and momentary afflictions. No matter what we have to face, the Scripture calls them light and momentary. And then it gives that there's a process going through that out of that we are growing through that process into something that's going to bring Him glory. It's going to circle right back around and give Him glory in our lives. Can you say amen? That the geniusness of your faith, Look at your neighbor and say, your faith. Now, I want you to get this. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I have to stop there for a second. Have you ever seen a wedding band? You know, to get the good gold, the higher the carat, the more pure gold is in there. The lower the carat, the more the mixture of metal is, and it's a harder thing. But when you start talking about 24 carat, that's a very soft gold. And it's already been through fire, so what's left the fire couldn't destroy. But have you ever seen anybody that's worn a ring a long time, and maybe it's a grandparent that right when before they die, they want someone to have their gold and stuff like that, and they take it off, and you see the worn edges where it's just so thin in some places? Where is that at? It's gone. You can't get it back because that, even the most precious metals, they fade away. They go away. And now, if you look, I'm going to make this point again in a second because it's going to repeat it again a few verses later. But you can go and Google the price of gold right now. And the price of gold next week will be different than it was this week. And the price of gold last week may be different than it was this week or next week. The same thing with silver, because in a second it's going to give a comparison about being more precious than gold and silver. So it's covering the basis of what we think is precious. But here's what he's saying with that. Gold and silver, their value fluctuates. Buy gold now. We believe that the price is going to go up. And if you bought it down here, it'll be worth more here. Same thing with silver. Gold investors, we've understood that silver is the next thing to blow up. Get in now. Buy the silver. Because in a few years, it may even go past the price of gold because there's less silver in the world. We've discovered there's less silver in the world. And it's going to be more valuable. Get in now. The value fluctuates. But right here he says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. What he's saying about faith? Why did we just sing a song that says, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it? What he's saying is that there is a value in faith. If you get faith, it's not like gold and silver. Even though those things are precious, they fluctuate. But what he's trying to help us get a picture of, don't let your faith fluctuate. Because it's good today, my faith is up here. But because it's bad today, my faith is down here. He said, no, you've got the wrong picture of faith. You're not experiencing faith the right way. Faith is not supposed to fluctuate because God doesn't change. So why should our access point change to God? Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The glories that would follow. So it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. See, here's what comes after suffering. Glory. We want glory, but we don't want to suffer. But after suffering comes glory. Therefore, verse 12, to them it was revealed, the prophets, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. There is stuff right now. This is what I want you to understand. You might think that the time and the days that you're living in is hard, but the angels are looking intently like, this is everything that he let them prophesy about. This is stuff that they prophesied through the Spirit of God. We saw it go down. They got words, and we didn't even understand it, but now we're starting to see, oh, that's what the grace was. And it's for you. What I'm wanting you to understand is an awareness around you of the power of God and through faith what we can do. I'm tired of being a helpless church. I'm tired of being a helpless people. Like, when will the enemy take it easy on me? You've got the power of God inside of you. This should be the believer's finest day. Do you see that Hollywood will put everything out there about spiritual stuff, not biblical spiritual stuff, but extraterrestrial spiritual stuff, getting in touch with all kinds of other gods? In other words, what they're saying is, we're searching for something that'll entertain you. And he refuses to be our entertainment. He's real whether you believe him or not. Here's the thing about God. You can like him, you can love him, you can hate him, but you can't change what he said. Get on the right side. Make sure you're on the right side. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. See, you got to get it right here first. You don't just end up somewhere haphazardly. You get there after your mind has worked this thing, and then you all of a sudden you're there because your mind took you there. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, the angels, they desire to look into this. And they know full well that this thing was prophesied and that there is this grace for you. And I think that they're thinking, who's gonna grab that? And when they do, what's going to happen now? This thing is for them. What's going to happen? These angels have seen the testimonies of things that happened of old. But what's going to happen next? This is not over, but it's coming to an end. I believe that. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. In other words, be complete. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Yes, we are to be separated as unto God, but we're also supposed to be complete in him, not lacking anything. 2 Peter, when we get there, Christine's going to help me teach that soon, but whenever we get there, we'll understand that we get saved, but then there's other things that are supposed to be added to our lives so that we can be complete, right? Don't you want to be complete? Amen. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Throughout the time of your stay here. Going back to what it said, that you're a pilgrim throughout the time of your stay. You're sojourning. You are dwelling as aliens. Sojourners. Temporary residents. So while you're here, let your faith help you walk out every step of the way. That's what he's saying. Conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So now he's made a comparison of your faith, and he's placed a value on it that you have to recognize that your faith is not supposed to fluctuate. Why? Because the blood that redeemed you never fluctuates. It never loses its power. It never loses its potency. It's as powerful as it's ever been and ever will be, because it's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus, and it is for us. And that's what he's saying right here. It's not like silver or gold. Your faith is not supposed to be like silver or gold fluctuating. Because his blood is not like silver or gold. It's not fluctuating. You don't have to Google the blood of Jesus today and find out, was my investment, is my investment working for me? Is my investment making me any money, or has it fallen away? In other words, what he's saying is, get rid of the question to God, where are you, God? Why would you let me go through this? That is your thing. That is the part of you, your humanness, that has to see it. That's the part of your humanness that has to feel it. But when you get past seeing and you get past feeling, then you will step into the realm called knowing. And that's where he wants you to be, where you don't have to see and you don't have to feel, but you just know. I can't stand it to hear the believer say this. Well, I just feel like the Lord wants it. Don't say that. No. You don't have to go around just feeling. Because if you just go around I just feel like the Lord wants, you're going to look like a weirdo soon. Because it's not going to happen sometime. And then somebody's going to think, there they go feeling again. When we're supposed to be knowing. We're supposed to be knowing. He put a great deal of effort into making sure that we know. When we get to this teaching, you're going to find out where Paul said, I have gone to a great deal. I'm about to leave this tent of this body, but I'm going to make sure that these things are for you, and I'm going to make sure that they're written down so that you can return to them, so that if there's ever any question, you go back to what you know. In other words, you don't ever have to guess again. You don't ever have to guess again. And if you'll be that person who knows, the enemy's going to look at you differently. The enemy's going to have to actually flee from you. Though he will try to pop up again and they still know. That's why he has to deceive. But a person who is deceived thinks what they know is right. But a person who knows will not be deceived, because they're holding on to the right thing. And that's what he has that is for us. Don't fluctuate. Your value does not fluctuate. The blood does not fluctuate. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation, verse 20, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. You see that? He suffered, and then what happened? Glory. The suffering comes first, then the glory comes. So that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, obedience is an act of you. Obedience just doesn't happen on its own. And he's putting a responsibility on you right here. He's saying, this is your responsibility. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Listen, there's a way that we look at people. There's a way we used to look at people before Christ in our lives, and then there's a way that we look at them now. The kingdom of God was like a man that found a treasure in a field, and he went out and he bought the whole field. What does that mean? If you're looking just for a treasure, you're not going to find it until you understand that God can hide some beautiful things in dirt. Can you love somebody enough to get past the dirt instead of just looking for the treasure? Do you know how many good things have come out of some dirt? Do you know how dirt has to play its part? It's just the way that he set it up. If he's the only perfect one, then everything else is going to be in the dirt, out of the dirt. But there's a treasure there. Can you love somebody enough to understand, I'll take the treasure, but I got to take the dirt with it? Not that you stay that way, but it's worth it. And let me say, by the way, you got some dirt too. I'll get off of that subject. That's about the worst. That's about the negativist. Amen. That's like reverse amen. What is A-M? Nema. That's what that was. Nema. Amen backwards. I'm sorry. Sometimes I just crack me up. I'm afraid to look up at my wife right now. She's probably shaking her head. That boy. Second part of verse 25. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore. Now here comes some instruction. All of that good news, that whole chapter of how we're supposed to see things and how we're supposed to hold to the faith and understand that faith has a value on it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So if we're still waiting to see it before we believe it, we're backwards. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. Can I tell you that's a big old load right there? And he's saying, get rid of it. Do you know what that is? You know, let me just read you this list again, and you tell me what this is. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. You know what that is? It's dirt. You want the treasure? Get rid of that. Get rid of the dirt. There's a treasure in the field. Get rid of the dirt. Stop holding on to that. As newborn, and here's the thing about, anytime God asks you to get rid of something, he's always got something better. He's always able to replace it with something better, but you got to let go of that before he'll let go of this. It doesn't work the other way. That's not how he's going to do it. But if you'll let go of these things, there'll be a new desire inside of you. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Come, Christy. Ryan. Do you know that when a baby is born, that the milk, there's a term, the milk comes in to the breast. And they wait. So sometimes the baby is born before the milk comes in. And the mother might have to wait a day or two. But the most important part of that milk is the very first milk. It's called colostrum. Inside of that, they can't reproduce that. You can't reproduce that. And there are vitamins and there are, I don't know, what are the good words? Antioxidants. That all you need, the good stuff, it's right there in the very beginning. And what he's saying is, there might be some stuff that you were supposed to get that you didn't get. And the reason is because you got saved, but nobody told you. You're a treasure, but there's still some dirt. Get rid of the dirt. Because I got you something that's going to carry you through this life with everything that you need. But you need it. You need it. There's something that's so much value at the very beginning of life. It can't be reproduced, but you can get it right then. What he's saying is, let's get rid of the dirt. All this stuff that holds you back. You got a value on you. There's a value to your faith. There's a value to the blood. And they're not supposed to be diminished in your life. You understand that your faith is supposed to grow? Just said that's the last thing I read to you. So that you can grow thereby. It's supposed to grow. And the blood, the life is in the blood. So if there's no diminishing in the blood, what does he have for you? I just want to submit to you a thought. It is my concern and fear that the believer oftentimes lives beneath where God wants you to live. I'm just about convinced of it. If the scripture says this, we're going to get to this in 2 Peter, but if the scripture says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. If it says that, and it does, why do I still have so much need? We'll talk about that more later, because there's a way out of that. But I can promise you all you need is in him. And he's already paid the price. All you got to do is come drink from the well. All you got to do is receive it from him. Just, you know, today was just, I just felt very pastoral today. I just felt like today is a day where we just break open a chapter of God's word and prepare us for some teaching that's coming. I just kind of wanted to stick the spade in the ground and dig up the soil a little bit and turn a little soil over. Just want to mix it up. You know, there's a plow. It's called a chisel plow. If you've ever seen the backside, you got to have a very strong tractor. Like you got these things that move a little bit of earth. You've got these disc harrows, and you can adjust them to go however deep you want to go. But when you want to go down deeper, there's this thing. It looks like a scorpion tail in reverse. Looks like a stinger on the back of a tractor. And what its job is to go beneath the surface of the soil to get down what is called the hard pan, where there's still good stuff there, but it's been settled into that place. And what he's saying is that in agricultural sense, every now and again, every few seasons, you need to go in with a chisel plow and go down into those fields and let's turn over the stuff that's good, but it's just got buried down a little too deep for our regular plowing to get to. And what God wants to do sometimes is just go down and hit the hard pan of your life and say, let me turn that over for you. Let me turn that over for you. There's some good down in there that maybe you forgot, or maybe you've given up a little bit on yourself, but there's good down in there. And I'm going to get to it. And I love you enough to sting you a little bit. I love you enough to turn you over a little bit to remind you it's still in there. The good thing is what comes after that, the seed of his word, mixes it all up. He fertilizes you. His Holy Spirit reigns over your life, and you produce a crop. When he talks about crops, he says some 30-fold, some 60. I mean, I don't know a farmer yet that would not be happy with a 30-fold increase. They'd be like, count me in. But that's the low end for God. See, that'd be miraculous. If you planted a seed and got 30 times a return on every seed, and God said, you think that's something? That's my starting place. Some 30, some 60, and farmer's going. And before he can say some 100-fold, they got to wake the farmer up and say, you didn't. Is that how you'd wake up somebody that passed out? Sorry. I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Hey, I know he made you pass out at 60-fold, but there's also a 100-fold return that could come to you. I'm telling you, I'm convinced we live beneath. I'm not talking about dollar bills. Please hear my heart. I'm talking about spiritual wealth that's greater than anything that'll perish in your life. I'm talking about a faith that cannot be moved, that come what may, when you start seeing sufferings, your mind is already pitched out to the glory, and you are already walking in, God, I thank you that you're not just present, you're very present. I'm just sensing you more. Because trouble showed up, I'm sensing your presence more. I want to walk there. I want to live there. Amen. Can we just take a minute right now? I want to do something just like to kind of activate. You don't have to take part, but I want to encourage at least 10 of you so I don't feel like... I'm just going to ask you just to kind of like walk in it for a second while your mind is thinking on it. I'm not talking about open break up. I mean, I let y'all go and y'all like chat. Y'all break up and everybody's having a good time. I'm talking about just walk in it for a second with these thoughts of 30 and 60 and 90% increase of spiritual wealth in my life. What that would look like. What if I protected my faith as something that's precious? What if I appreciated the blood of Jesus and realized he's put a value on his blood? He's put a value on my faith. If I can get to that place, I'm going to start walking different. I want you to right now just move out of your seat. Everybody do it so nobody feels weird. But come on, I'll just leave it with you. Just start walking. Let's just kind of walk around in here. Just in your mind, I'm walking. I'm believing. I'm taking a step forward. If you're not able to, that's fine. That's okay. But we're going to walk in it. You might want to take your wife's hand. We're going to walk in it. We're going to walk in it together. You can walk in it as a family. If you're here by yourself, represent your people. If you're single, represent your place in the Lord and don't be ashamed of that. God's got you where He's got you. But I'm going to advance spiritually. I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm by faith right now. These steps aren't something frivolous. I'm walking in it, God. I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it, Lord. Let's ask Him for a reset right now. God, reset my mind. So I do this past this morning. So I'll walk in it tomorrow morning when I wake up. Tomorrow morning's going to look different. Change looks different. So God, let us symbolically right now. This is just symbolically. But symbolically, God, we're moving. And we're walking forward. And we're growing in you. And your spirit is alive inside of us. And my faith is growing. And my faith is precious in your sight. And it's not fluctuating. And my faith has a value in it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we thank you for your blood, Jesus. More precious than silver and gold. It does not lose value. And we thank you for it, Lord. It's been applied to our lives. We're walking in an inheritance in you. We're going to grow in you. We're going to be blessed in you. We're going to walk in you every day. We're going to walk in the Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can go back to your seats. In Jesus' name. Thank you for indulging me in that. I just believe sometimes we just need to do something a little different than what we normally do. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just give him praise right now? Worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our lives are going to raise a hallelujah. I believe that. Amen. Amen. Father, I ask you just seal your word up inside of us today. Don't let the enemy swoop in immediately and steal the word out of our lives. It's too valuable. Let it go to the good soil, God. Don't let it get stuck along the wayside, and don't let it get trapped in roots and thorny places. Let it land in good soil so that it will produce the crop that you have intended for us, Lord. We see your glory. We certainly suffered. We've suffered for a year now in a sense. But we believe we're going to see your glory, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you that we can gather. And thank you that we have gathered today. Add your blessing to this meeting today. And seal your word up inside of us. That our faith grows. And that we have the value and keep the value and understanding that it's not going to fluctuate. God, can you just say that? God, help my faith not to fluctuate. Help my faith to be at full value, full power. Because your blood is always at full value and full power. In Jesus' name, amen.
He has a